Well, good morning. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. As I look over the crowd here, I realize that it's been a while since I've been here for a Sunday morning service. So bless each one of you brothers. I was blessed being here this morning already. Thank you, Brother Steve, for the thoughts on light. And as I was thinking light, we allow the light of God to work in our heart. It'll help us with a call to separation from the world. Thank you, Brother Nehemiah, for that inspiring Bible story to the children there on faithful men. Shadrach, Abednego, very inspiring, so thank you. What I endeavor to share on this morning, well, first, maybe we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. Yes, eternal Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you again today, we do thank you. We love you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us as families and as congregations, Lord. We are thankful for your goodness and your grace again today, Lord, to see it fit that we rise this morning, Lord, with another opportunity to come to church and to hear the word of God preached, Lord, and to hear what you have for each one of us, Lord. I was truly blessed. I thank the brothers for sharing this morning. I thank you for the things you laid upon their heart. I do pray, Lord, as I endeavor to share here, Father, I pray you bless the words I share. Give me inspiration. Give me thoughts. Help me as I endeavor to share the things you laid upon my heart here. We do pray for the Dorsick family. If I'm saying it right, Lord, we pray you bless them today one way or another with a spiritual blessing, Lord. You just comfort them. You be with them. You help them. We don't understand your ways at all times, Lord, but we trust in you today. We have faith in you that you do. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Well, what I endeavor to share this morning is going to go very well with what Matt already shared. I'm going to share on a heart condition, or I should say a conditioned heart. Because we all have a heart condition this morning. We all have a condition that we came to church in today. So, and I know it's a Sunday morning, and I know sometimes on Sunday mornings, it's a morning maybe we sleep in a little bit, or maybe it's we're not pressed for work on Sunday morning. So maybe we take that to our own advantage at times. But I know over the years, I came to church with many different conditions on my heart, and I know I get the most out of my day is when I meet with God on Sunday mornings also. God wants us to meet with Him to condition our heart for the service that's ahead of us that day. I know that I'm not saying that because I'm sharing today. I'm saying that because I know that I go to church. If my heart is in tune with what God has for me, He will have something for me that day. So if I get up and I seek God and I prepare my heart and I condition it for the things that are coming for me that day, my heart will be able to grasp it and be able to catch Him. I'm truly blessed today to be a part of the congregation here today and to hear the things I heard. So I thank you. I thank you for that. And I know that I get the most out of it if my heart is soft, my heart is sensitive, if my heart's prepared to hear the Word of God. And if I spent time in prayer this morning seeking God. So what's the condition of my heart this morning? So I ask. Did I seek God for wisdom today? Is my heart at peace? Is there joy in my heart? Am I encouraged with the things I heard this morning? Or the things I heard this morning, do they align with my heart? Am I encouraged with the Word of God today? Because I say that because most people in the world this morning, they didn't wake up seeking ways to violate the Word of God. They didn't seek ways to do that. Rather, they fell into sin in their life because they did not prepare their hearts to seek God's will in life. And they went their own way. And them are situations that that many men find themselves in. They find themselves in trouble. They find themselves very far from God because they never spent no time seeking God for His will in their life. And or maybe it's just, maybe God wants us to just to seek Him, for a struggle we face in life. Maybe there's a struggle that we face. Maybe Matt laid out many things there this morning. Steve laid out many things. Many men fall into sin because they never seek God to help them through the struggles they face in life. Because this morning, we seek an all-knowing God, or we serve an all-knowing God. And He knows everything we face in life. He knows every situation we face. He knows everything that we're going to face next week. He knows everything we faced last week. You know, this morning, if we're struggling with the situation in life, I know that God wants us to make it a matter of prayer. He did this in my life. There's things that I continue to face and maybe not always be victorious over, fell in, as far as maybe responding wrongly, responding in a wrong way. And He's still showing me that. But I know that God wants me to make this a matter of prayer. He wants me to get serious with this situation. He wants me, if I'm responding wrong, it could be to our children, it could be to our parents, it could be to some friends. God wants us to make this a matter of prayer because He can help us. He wants us to ask Him to bring it to the forefront of our mind, because we only need that split second. God will bring it there, and He'll give us the choice of what we do with it. And God wants us to be victorious in that area in our life. And that's one of the things that I faced in life, is my response in that way. It's easy to respond quickly and maybe even snappily, but that's not God's heart this morning. God wants us to make a matter of prayer till our heart can be prepared. If this situation comes that way, that we can respond in a godly way. You know, if we continue to do that, it'll condition our heart to be sensitive. It'll condition our heart to be soft. And if we don't do that, and if we don't seek God to help us through these matters in life, we may not make it in this life. We may not make it in our Christian walk. Because the way Matt shared this morning, these things, the environment that we put ourselves in, even in our own mind, are going to determine our Christian outcome. The Bible describes the heart this morning as the seat of one's inner being, of the emotions, the thoughts, our spiritual life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of the heart come the issues of life." So that's why we need to condition our heart towards God this morning, because out of that heart will come all the issues we face in life. All the issues, good or bad, are going to come out of the condition of our heart. And without God in our heart this morning, our heart is going to naturally be inclined towards wickedness. It'll be inclined the wrong way. So what if I told you this morning that I had a heart condition? Because when someone has a heart condition, it's a very serious matter. I could say that it ran in my family. I could say my mom had a heart condition. My dad, he passed on from a heart condition. The truth of the matter this morning is I do have a heart condition. And so do you. We all have a condition that's on our heart today. And the point I'm trying to get across this morning is our heart is conditioned one way or another. And we need to have a condition towards the things of God. We need to have a condition as we walk through our work week, we walk through life, our heart needs to be conditioned on everything we face on the job site or everything we face in life. And there's times we may have to repent and say sorry. Things didn't go the way you thought. Our heart condition this morning is going to depend on the things that we allow in our heart. These things are going to form our thoughts. They're going to form our attitudes. They're going to end up shaping the deepest part of our inner being, depending on the condition of our heart. You know, the condition of our heart goes many ways this morning. It can go many ways. You know, we can allow pride into our life. We can allow ourselves to feel pretty good about ourselves. We can really think we have things figured out in life. And we can become somewhat we don't want to become just because of that. We may think we know a lot at times. And if we ever find ourselves there, I think it does ourselves some good if we find ourselves there just to take a moment and to envision ourselves at Judgment Day, standing before the judgment seat of God. Noah Webster, he wrote the Webster's Dictionary. He made a comment in there that said that there's not a greater thought that can go through the corridor of a man's mind than the thought of standing before the judgment seat of God. And that come from, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but it come from a man that that we don't know. And I think it does. It's very good to consider that this morning, that there's not a greater thought that we could have than to stand before the judgment seat of God. If we ever need to be humbled, if we ever need to humble our heart, I think that's a good place to find ourselves, is to envisioning. Because just to ask yourself, what's it going to be like standing before that judgment seat? When I, the morning I heard that my dad passed into eternity, my wife called me and said she got a text that your dad, they think your dad passed away. And I jumped in my truck and I ran to my dad's as fast as I could. And when I walked in the house and I seen him laying on the floor, and I stopped and I stared at him. And all kinds of emotions were going through my heart. And I had to think that morning that my dad just passed away, and he was standing before the God of heaven. And he was given an account for the things that was been done in his life. And it was an amazing, it was an astounding thought to have. And I have hope for my dad. I have hope for my dad in his last years. He had a changed heart. Without that, it'd be hard to walk through life, because we loved our dad very much. And so we hope the best for him. You know, I had to think, what did my dad see? What was he seeing as he just exited this body and he entered into God's presence? What was he seeing? Because in Revelations, it said the apostle John said he heard a voice as a trumpet and he fell as dead. What did John see? What did John see that was so astounding that he fell on his face as dead? And I think of those things, and you know, John was a man that walked with Jesus for many years, and he was very humbled in the presence of God. And I believe that we're going to be very humbled when we stand before God to give an account in this body. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of memories, and I'm sure everything we did is going to pass before our eyes. And I know this, at that day, one of the only things that's going to matter in our life is the condition of our heart. If our heart was conditioned and ready to meet with Jesus. So what's the condition of my heart today? So what do I think the condition of my heart is? Do we think we're doing well? Are we judging ourselves this morning according to God's word? Or are we judging ourselves according to men? Because if we're judging ourselves according to God's word, it'll cut to the inner beings of our life. And it'll really show us who we are. And Proverbs 27 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how do we look at our neighbor this morning? How do we judge our neighbor? What thoughts do we have in our heart towards our neighbors this morning? Or I could say church brothers. What for thoughts do we have? Because the Bible says that so we think at our neighbor or our church brother, so are we. So that should be able to. So if we think good thoughts of our neighbors, we're okay. But if we think bad thoughts, we're not. The Bible says in Samuel 16:7, said the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or his height or his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, I look at the heart. God looks at the heart this morning. He looks what's going on in the inside. And I know that, so when we look at our neighbor, we need to view, God wants us to view our neighbor as he does. He has a soul. The Lord has compassion on our neighbor. He wants us to have compassion. There's things maybe we're going to see that we don't agree with. But the Lord wants us to love our neighbor this morning. This is the story right here where I was talking about it was in 1 Samuel. It's where God's rejecting Saul and he's telling Samuel to go anoint David. He's seen David as this young shepherd boy, taking care of his father's sheep all those years in the countryside. And he's seen that David had a heart bent towards him. He probably spent countless nights gazing into the skies and having conversations with Jesus and just talking about the things of life. And God seen that David had a heart after him. And he had a heart after the things of God and had a heart after the things that he wanted, that God wanted in his life. You know, David's brothers, when they looked at him, they didn't see the things that God seen. They looked at him as something very differently. You see that as he went out there to fight the giant, his brothers were very against him. But God seen a man that had a heart after him. He seen a man who was sold out for him. He seen David. He seen the condition of David's heart. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. When God sees us this morning, He sees us and He sees the condition of our heart. When God looks at man this morning, He doesn't see a skin color. He doesn't see if they're poor. He doesn't see if they have status. What is God looking on when He looks at the heart, looks at man this morning? He's looking on the purity of the heart. He's looking on how pure our heart is here this morning. As we sit here at church and we sit underneath the worship service and we're hearing all the words that we heard this morning, He's judging us according to the purity of our heart. He's looking at us this morning to see how pure our heart is. Jesus spoke about a pure heart. And a pure heart this morning is doing what God wants it to do. From a pure heart, because from our heart come the issues of life. A pure heart will motivate us towards the things of God. It'll give us the desires that God wants us to have. Because if our heart ain't right, our actions won't be right either. A heart that's right with God, a heart that's not right with God this morning, will be full of jealousy, pride, foolish living. The scriptures warn us this morning, from a heart that's contentious, come evil communication, and it'll corrupt the mind, and it'll harden the heart. If we allow these things, if we have the communication, or we have the environment that Matt was speaking about this morning, that situation will harden the heart. It'll harden our heart from the things of God. The Bible says that God looks on the heart this morning. He wants to see what's on the inside. He wants to know what's going on the inside. He knows the thoughts, the intents. He wants to see the heart. He wants to see if the heart's right with Him or not. When God's looking on the inside this morning, He wants to see if our heart's right with Him. And if it's not, He wants to make it right. We still have opportunity in this side of eternity to make our heart right with Him. So the question that God asks us this morning, is our heart right with Him? And if it's not, we can allow God to make it right. You know, in Proverbs 6:18, the Bible talks about the condition of an average person's heart. I don't know what that means, but the Bible tells us this morning that our heart can be full of evil imaginations. And Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? If we're outside of Christ this morning, our heart is deceitful and we can't trust it. If we're not walking with Jesus this morning, we can't trust our heart. We can't trust the decisions we're making on the outside of Christ. That's why it's important this morning to walk with a brotherhood and to have our heart right with God. And if our heart's right with God, we can make judgments on what's right and what's not. In Matthew 15:8, it says, "People draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me." Do we ever feel far from God? Do we ever feel like we're far from God? Do we ever feel that God's not close to us? Does God ever feel that way about us? Does God ever feel that we're not very close to Him? Possibly. Now we can think about it this morning. There are many of us here at church, and we had beautiful singing. We had beautiful hymns, and I was intrigued. It was a real blessing. But there's that chance this morning that someone can be drawing nigh with their mouth, and their heart can be far. Their heart can be far from God. We can have our mind many different things when we come to a church service. We can be thinking about a lot of different things as a brother sharing or singing hymns. We can be thinking about the things that happened last week at work, or we can be thinking about the things we've got to do this coming week, and our heart can be far from God. Our heart can drift away from the things where God wants it to be. We can be taken up with the things of the world, and we can miss out on the service. And I'm not just talking about the service this morning. I know God wants to meet with us every morning in our private time. He wants our heart to be there. I know that in the mornings when you get your Bible and you sit down to meet with God, there's times you're in a battle with the things you're facing that day at work. And it's a battle to stay focused on what God wants you to read and the devotion that God wants to have with you. That's not God's heart this morning. God wants to meet with us. I'm sure we spent much time reading our Bibles in the morning. But there's that chance that we could spend more time talking about us reading the Bible than actually reading it. Or maybe we spent more time talking about going to prayer meetings than actually going to prayer meetings. Because God wants us not just to talk about these things. He wants it to be real in our life. Maybe God thinks at times that we don't have time for him. There's that chance this morning that our heart's far from God. And God wants us to draw nigh. God's word tells us to draw nigh. James 4, 8 tells us, draw nigh to me. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to thee. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. Drawing near to God this morning is a conscious decision that we need to make. It's an intentional decision we need to make. It's a promise in the Bible this morning that if we do those things, if we draw near to God, the promise is that he'll draw near to us. And it's a tremendous blessing that God's waiting for us to draw near to him. It takes an intentional effort or we'll naturally drift away from God. You know, this morning, the Bible tells us that the heart can be darkened, that we can darken our heart. And Romans 1:21 says, because they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. The Bible teaches us that the heart gets dark when we allow the spiritual life, our spiritual life, and our spiritual light to be blinded by the cares of the world. Our spiritual life will become blinded. Our eyes can be blinded this morning by unthankfulness. And it's amazing if you just sit down and think about how many different situations that we can find our heart in at times and the things that tempt us in life. An unthankful heart this morning is a very dangerous heart. It allows discontentment, jealousy, blindness, evil thinking. It focuses on what's missing rather than what's been given. It transforms God's gifts into complaints. It causes discontentment, ungratefulness, and people end up complaining about the very things they once prayed for. Did that ever happen to you? Did you ever end up complaining about the very things that you prayed for and God gave you? God forbid if that happens. An unthankful heart leads to jealousy, envy, greed. It destroys trust. It makes brothers pull back from one another. This heart is conditioned the wrong way. We can condition our heart the wrong way this morning. We can do that. Are we thankful for our church situation this morning? Are we blessed? This is God's kingdom. This is God's gift to us this morning that we're allowed to gather with brothers and to seek his will and to draw nigh to him. Are we thankful this morning? We need to be, because I know many of you brothers spent many years praying for church situations, spent many years praying that God would help you establish his kingdom here on earth. And I know that I spent many years praying that God would help me in my church situations also. And there's always that temptation when things start rising and things start going wrong that we can start complaining. It's not God's heart. God wants us to draw nigh and to hear from him. And Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, the problem here is that Apostle Paul is not just talking about the world here. He's talking about the believers. He's talking about the believers when he said that they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. Do we know God this morning, but not glorify him the way he wants to be glorified or worship him? Brother Allen shared a series on worshiping or on worship. And he shared that we can have beautiful song services, but that doesn't mean we're worshiping God or we're bringing glory to him. Our heart can be far from him, even in those times. The problem is that we don't lack knowledge about these things. We don't lack knowledge about the scripture. We heard many messages. We went to many tent meetings. We went to many, we have many books to help us. The problem is that we don't always act on the knowledge that we get. We don't always act on the knowledge that we have. We don't always act on the things that God's shown us. Because if we don't act on the things we already know, more knowledge is not going to help us. It's not going to help us. We can't stay neutral in this area in life. If we don't act on the things God shows us or the things that God gives us to work with, I don't believe that we can move on. I don't believe that we can move further than that. I believe God wants to work in us. He wants to show us things, but he wants to own it when he gives it to us. He wants us to take these things and put it to use. When we pull back in these spiritual areas of our life, when we pull back from the plow, when we quit pushing, we're going to refuse to glorify God. And we won't give thanks, and our hearts will become darkened. And when we pull back, and someone takes over that plow and starts pushing in our place, he's never going to please us. He's not going to be able to do it right for us. Why are we so unthankful sometimes when we receive from God these daily blessings without as much having given thought of it? I'm talking our food. I know in Haiti today, not everyone's guaranteed a meal. And we take for granted these things. Every morning we wake up and we have our freezer full of food. And if we thank God for it or not, we take these things for granted, that we have all these many blessings. We got life this morning, breath. God's mercy is new today. We have health and strength. God's good to us. What about the blessing of getting to meet with the Lord every morning? What about this blessing? There's many religions out there today that wake up, try to please the God they don't know. And we got this opportunity to wake up and to meet with God and to ask Him to help us with our day. Would it make a difference this morning? I know there's people stand in line throughout the whole world to meet famous people or important people. And they'll stand in line for days to get a glimpse of them, maybe the Pope. Would it make a difference this morning if God came when we woke up for our devotions and we sit on our chair and He came and sit on the other one beside us and we got to talk to Him and we got to ask Him to help us through our day and we got to ask Him to help us with the problems we're going to face that day? Well, He wants to be there. He wants to be in that other chair this morning. You know, I shared a little while back how, you know, there may be times we ask, where was God in this situation? I understand that. But He sees the big picture. And a little ways back, I shared about God knowing all the problems we face in life. He knows all the things we're going to face during the day. He knows all the things that are coming down the line. And sometimes we ask God where He is. I took a job. I was doing a job in Ohio about a month ago, and I was working over there. On my way to work that morning, it was a big job, and I didn't know how I got myself in the situation. I started crying out to God on the way there to help me, and I prayed that everything would go well, and I prayed a lot on the way to work that morning. And I took the job on in the wintertime, and I didn't know how the work was going to be in the spring, and it was like an hour and a half drive. And on my way there, we had to leave early. Concrete had to be on the job early, and I had like 30 trucks on call to bring concrete, and we got there, and I was praying the whole way there that God would help me and to be there with me during this job so things would go well. It was probably bigger than I could handle, and as I got there, right out the gate, everything that could have went wrong started going wrong. There was some guys there that was in charge of the gas pumps, and they were being rude, and they made us take down our pumps. As the concrete started pulling in, they made us take down our concrete pumps and start moving, and the truck started backing up down the road. And so we pulled up, and we started dumping out the concrete without the pump, and we started getting a bunch of it down. And the guy with the laser screed, he couldn't get the screed machine to connect with the satellite. And there we sit for an hour and a half. And we sit there for an hour and a half. Brother Brian was with me, and I made multiple trips to the truck, and I prayed, "Oh Lord, help me." I didn't know what was going to happen, and I got to the point where I asked Brian if he was praying or not, because nothing was getting fixed, and he was too. He was praying. So we stopped the concrete at 15 trucks pulled up. We canceled the rest of the concrete. We told him to go on standby for a while, and then he finally got the screed hooked up. And he got it running, and we decided we're going to wait to order any more concrete until we got this down to see what happened, because the concrete was getting hard in the trucks. Some of them were out of water, and the situation was getting bad. So the gas station people were all there. The people in the pumps, they were all there. Everybody was there watching us. They knew they had a situation there, and they didn't make it real clear to us. They knew that the gas pumps were too high, but they told us, at all costs, just make sure the water goes through that area. And when we got up there and we got the water to go through, it was like 18 inches too high. And the superintendent started saying, "No, we need to stop." Sent the rest of the concrete back. Well, we didn't have no more concrete there. We had it almost all used up. And I believe God was working and just stopping. Otherwise, we had 15 more trucks waiting on us, and someone had been in a bad situation. And the guys that were there that morning, they were being rude to us. They were being rude to everyone. And I don't know who was going to pay for the concrete if there had been a bunch more there. You know, we may look at the we may We may wonder what some of the greatest stumbling blocks in the kingdom of God is. We may wonder that this morning. We may think it's murder. We may think it's drunkenness, adultery, theft. They're all stumbling blocks, and I believe that. But what about pride this morning? I believe more people stay out of the kingdom of God today because they're proud than any other reason. They have so much pride in their life, and they don't want to humble themselves. And if we can't humble ourselves today, we can't repent. We can't come before God. If we can't admit that we're wrong about things at times and just repent, we can't come to the cross and ask for repentance. You know, this morning, we just need to acknowledge we're all made out of the same stuff. We all got the same ability to stumble and fall in life. And we got this. We all need the same compassion. We all need the same love that Jesus showed the thief on the cross. We all need that because we need that this morning because we're all made out of the same things. And if we have pride in our life, we can't hear from God. Pride makes a rebellious heart. And Jeremiah 5:23 says that the people had a rebellious and revolting heart. God's word does many different things to each person. It's amazing how it affects people differently. The Bible teaches us this morning that the heart can be hardened. The same sun that dries the ground and hardens the clay, that same sun this morning will melt ice and melt butter. The same gospel this morning, it'll soften the hearts of some people until it repents. And that same gospel will harden others. We see the illustration of Pharaoh in the Old Testament, how God hardened his heart where he couldn't repent and he wouldn't listen. He can do that here. I met a young man before I moved down to Decatur. I stopped by one of my neighbors that was close to Mart. I knew him, and I seen him working by the road. And I knew he had a hard heart, and I wasn't going to share nothing with him. So I made up, well, I'm just going to stop and be friendly to him. So I stopped, and I determined I wasn't going to share with him because I didn't want to get angry at me. And I asked him, hey, how's it going, or what are you doing? And he said, Melvin, I'm a man who does exactly what he wants to do. He shared that with me. And come out of my mouth without thinking was, well, you can't be a good Christian like that. And without thinking, as soon as I said it, I knew I was in trouble. And he got angry at me. And he sent me off the place. So, and I didn't get much chance. But God can harden the heart where we have a hard time hearing anybody speak about Jesus. He can harden our heart in that way if we go down that road. It's possible for us to harden our heart by delaying repentance or asking for forgiveness for something that's been done. Our heart can get so hard that we no longer hear God when he speaks. When God speaks this morning, it's very important that we don't harden our heart, that we respond to the things that he has for us. There's been many times through my life that in my young Christian life, I should say, that I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't sleep. And I was thinking about things, and there was things were going through my mind. And I come to the conclusion that when that happens, God has something for me. If we want to walk by faith and we want to believe that we hear from Jesus, I get up and I'll listen to a message or I'll read the Word of God. I know that God wants to show me something. He wants to show me something. And there's a lot of times I can point right to the things that he wanted to show me. And if I just listen to a message that was preached the Sunday before on one of our churches, he wants to speak to us in that way. You know, why would we not listen to God? Because God knows our heart anyway. And Psalms 44 says, shall not God search out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. And if we can't sleep, it's because maybe God knows there's things in there that he wants to settle in our own life. He knows all secrets. We don't hide nothing from God. We may be able to hide it from the brotherhood here, but he knows every single thing that goes on in our life, in our heart. And you know, if we can condition our heart that way, if we can soften our heart that way, it's going to be very easy to repent. It's going to be very easy to say sorry and take the low road. Think about it. The Bible says that God searches the heart. The great God of heaven this morning searches our heart. When he's doing that, what does he see? What does he see this morning when he's looking into our heart, when he's searching our heart? When he's probing, when he's looking around. Jeremiah 17 says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. The Bible says that God ponders the heart. It says, every way a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Proverbs 21:3, 21:2. You know, we can rationalize things in our life. We can rationalize the way we live. And we can think that we're doing pretty good. We can think that maybe we're handling our finances well. Or maybe we're doing a lot of things right. But God ponders the heart. The Bible says that God doesn't take our evaluation and our judgment. The Bible says that God ponders the heart and he meditates on it. He evaluates it according to his word. The Bible says that God weighs the heart this morning. I want to ask this morning, when God weighs our heart, does it weigh enough? Does our heart weigh enough? I'm not talking about a heavy heart. That's not what God's talking about. He's talking about, is there joy coming from our heart? Is it overflowing? Is it bubbling over with the things of God? Because I know that life is real. And sometimes we can get bogged down. But God's heart is this morning is that it's full. It's full of Jesus. And bubbling out of our heart comes the good things of God. He's going to weigh our spiritual life this morning compared to the commandments of God. The Bible says that we have all broken God's commandments. And what does that mean this morning? What does that do to our conscience? Does it convict us this morning when we break the commandments? What about the times we reject God's voice in our life? What does it do to our voice? What does it do to our conscience? Does it harden our heart when we reject a guilty conscience? I believe it does. We're all going to be weighed by the life of Christ this morning. And we're not going to weigh enough. We're going to come up short. Romans 3:23 says we were all sinners one time in the sight of God. And we all needed a Savior. And Steve shared about that, about being born again. We all needed a Savior. We all needed to be made right with God. And you guys all know me here. I grew up in the community with you. And I know I had a reputation when I was younger for being a very rebellious man with many addictions and many struggles in my life. And I'm so thankful this morning that God spared me, that God gave me a chance. God gave me that. I'm so thankful this morning that God gave me a mother that never quit praying for me. God gave me a mother that I would come home 2-3 o'clock in the morning and I would go upstairs to bed. I would try to be as quiet as I could because there's been times my mom would get out of bed after I would be in bed and she'd come upstairs and she'd grab a hold of my foot and she would pray for my soul. And there were them convictions, they weighed heavy on me, and I hated it. I act like I was sleeping so I didn't have to talk to her, but she prayed for me, and she prayed for my soul, and she did it for many years, and I was very convicted, and she told us about the fires of hell. She told me, Melvin, there's not going to be one drop of water for you in hell, and I was destined for hell. I was not professing to be a Christian. But I was scared. She put the fear of hell in me. But I rationalized the way I lived with the thief on the cross. I had that intention that I would, if I got in a bad wreck, or if I got hurt at work, I was going to repent just like that thief on the cross did. And I was going to ask Jesus to forgive me. And I was going to ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I could still make it to heaven. I was swinging on a horse here out across eternity. And I'm so thankful my mom never left me there. She prayed for me. But God showed me. It was in 2005. I was in a bad truck accident over here on Notstein Road. As I was going to then my girlfriend's house, I was going down the Notstein Road. It was raining. The road was slick. And I was speeding. And I, right as I came to the railroad tracks, I passed a cop going the other way. And I looked in the mirror to see if the cop was going to turn around or not because I knew I was speeding. And when I turned back around, I jumped the tracks. And when I landed, I lost control and I hit a big telephone pole. And I almost went through the windshield. I remember I broke my neck and I ran some big pieces of glass down the top of my head and I almost bled to death before I got to the hospital. I bled so much that my socks were wet with blood. And God was doing, I believe God was showing me, because at that moment I was not preparing to die. I was fighting to live. I remember waking up in and out of consciousness, seeing the paramedics and all them working on me and going into the hospital. And it was a couple of days later, Marvy Swartz showed up at the hospital. This was in 2005. And he brought me some CD. He brought me some tapes and his cassette player. And God showed me. You never had time. You never thought about repenting. You never thought about getting right with me. And it dawned on me that I would have been in hell. And I never changed right then. And I never started. I still went my own way, but it was a start where I seen the seriousness of my life, and I seen the seriousness that if I died, I was going to go to hell. A little ways back, I was talking about breaking the law of God. That without Jesus today, when we break the law of God, we deserve death. In Iran, Saudi Arabia, when they break the law, there's public hangings, there's public execution. And I don't know what that would do to the crime in the country around us. Maybe it would bring the fear of the law into their life. I'm not sure, but they reject Jesus, and they reject the blood that was shed for the sins of mankind. Men are put to death today because of breaking the law. Women that show too much hair in Iran, they get put to death. They get judgment. The point I'm trying to make is, what do you think that does to the conscience of men when they put people to death? How do you think that defiles their conscience? I'm sure the first few times they do it, that it's heavy on their conscience. Mark Miller shared that his boys were in Saudi Arabia, and they were at the hotel they were staying in. The people were excited. They were going to have a hanging, public hanging for three men that next night. And they was telling Mark's boys that, hey, you guys come with us. They were excited about it. Their conscience got seared. Their conscience was hardened. It's not the heart of Jesus that they hang him on the cross. Jesus wants to forgive him. The Bible talks about the heart of Jesus this morning. And we're to have that kind of heart. Jesus' heart was that they came off that cross and then been forgiven. The Bible talks about the shedding of the blood of Jesus through the New Testament. What does that mean to us today? In the heart of Christ, there was compassion, there was love, and it bled for our sinful hearts. His heart was pure, perfect, loving, tender, glorious, compassionate. It bled for our hearts to condition our hearts for eternity. You know, when they put the spikes in Jesus' hand, they put the spear in his side, his heart this morning bled drops of blood for us. Condition our heart for eternity. God says that without the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews 9:22, without the death of Christ, there's no forgiveness. Because we all broke the commandments. We all deserve death according to the law. When Jesus came, he went to the cross. He prepared a way for us. And that way was prepared for us to condition our heart. When Jesus died on the cross, not only did he forgive our sins, but he helped condition the hearts of men for all eternity. You know, I read a story on the missionaries in Africa. There's a book, I can't think of it. But the missionaries in Africa, it was maybe some Indian tribe. The missionaries were trying to reach out for many years without success. And the missionary's wife got caught breaking the law or maybe passing on the gospel to people, and she was condemned to die. When they seen that she went to her death joyfully, she went to her death and accepted it and was rejoicing in the opportunity to go be with Jesus. When that happened, the next morning, the mission house was full. People came from all over. They said, look, we knew that Jesus was good for living, but we never knew that he was good for dying. Jesus is good for dying this morning. He can condition our heart. He can condition our heart that we can meet him. He's good for dying. When we hear that story this morning of Jesus going to the cross and dying for the sins of mankind, it should soften our heart. When we hear the story of how on his way to the cross, that communion story I heard for many years, how they purged his back, scourged his back, stuck him with thorns on his head, it should condition our heart for all eternity. God's heart was bent towards saving us. God loved us so much that in Romans 5 it says that he commanded his love towards us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Some of the verses in the Bible, some of the depths I don't understand. So he who knew no sin became sin. And I don't understand this morning the shedding of the blood of Jesus. I don't understand how it pleased his Father, but it pleased God this morning. It pleased God that his Son shed the blood for us to condition our hearts for all eternity. Somehow God was in Christ. He reconciled the world to himself. He bled in his heart. was broken for us. This should break our heart this morning. This should condition our heart. This should soften our heart when we hear these stories of Jesus this morning. And I believe when we catch ourselves not being very emotional about these stories and they don't touch us no more, God wants us to draw nigh to Him. The Bible says that God prepares the heart by the Holy Spirit. And this can only happen if we allow ourselves this morning. If we allow, and Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparation of the heart of man is from the Lord. This is a gift from God this morning. He wants to prepare our heart. But we have to allow it. We have a say-so in this morning. We have a say-so that we can allow God into our heart, or we can hold Him out. The choice is ours. The Bible gives us a beautiful promise in the Bible. In the Bible it says that God will give us a new heart. If we come to Christ and we want a new heart, then God will give us one. God will give us a new heart. If we repent this morning and we're forgiven of our sins, we can have a new heart. If our old heart was bad and we want a new one, the good thing is God wants to give us one this morning. He wants to give us that new heart. Where do we find ourselves this morning? Do we find it hard to love one another this morning? Do we find it hard to love our brother this morning? What about our neighbor? Do we find it hard to love this morning? We may need a new heart. We may need a new heart this morning. These guys in Ohio, when I was working on that job, they were some very proud men. They really was proud of their business they had, and they were really ordering people around. A couple days before we got there, they made some guys change some concrete out. They really pushed them around that I don't think had to be changed. It got covered up, and they were just showing their authority. They were really mean, and they were rough with us too. But when it came down to this was all their fault, that they had the gas tanks too high, these guys wanted mercy. They wanted compassion. And I told my nephews, look, the owners of the gas station told us, look, these guys are going to pay you to redo it. Don't worry. They're going to pay you for all this. And I told my nephews, you know what? We need to show compassion to these guys. We need to charge them the least amount. We need to be compassionate on these men, because that's the way Jesus would want it. God says, I'll take that old heart out and I'll put a new one in there, because the old heart won't do. And the old heart will not do what God wants. He wants to give us a completely new one. He doesn't just want to patch it up. He wants to give us a new heart. The Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You know that old heart, the one that had all kinds of contention in it, all kinds of strife? Remember when you came to Jesus, He gave you that new heart. The contention was gone, and you could love those that mistreated you. That's a beautiful thing this morning. God wants us to have that new heart. He wants us to have that heart that can love our neighbor even when they're mean to us. If we have a new heart today, it's conditioned for the things of God. A new heart this morning has the Spirit of God living in it. In Ezekiel, the Bible says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take out the stony heart of flesh and I'll give you a new one. If we seek the things of God today, He'll condition our heart. He'll condition it for the things of eternity. It'll give us a new direction in life. It'll change our moral life. It'll change our affections. It'll give us new passions. A regenerated heart this morning is a heart that has new direction, new thoughts, new energies, new ambitions. Going to tent meetings is exciting. A new heart loves going to tent meetings. It loves going to hear the Word of God preached because of what it does to your life. It changes you. It gives you new ambition. Do you want that new heart? The good thing about this new heart this morning is it's already conditioned for the things of God. When we get the new heart, we don't have to add a whole bunch of things in there. It's already conditioned for the things of God. Maybe we have to repent this morning. Maybe things are pretty cloudy in our life. Maybe there's things we have to get out of there. And I can come to church every Sunday, and I can have a heart that's so full of contention, and very few people will know it. Only the people that live with me are going to know it. God's heart is this morning that we're joyful, loving, peaceful, pure. We can gauge ourselves by that this morning. We can gauge ourselves by how we love our church brothers. So what kind of heart do I have this morning? Because it matters. In the book of Revelations, we see where God takes the candlestick away from churches because of heart conditions. Because they have their heart conditioned the wrong way. I heard a preacher Mark Miller was preaching on the churches of the seven churches of Asia, and he was preaching about the church of, well, he was preaching about a lot of churches, but the church at Pergamos caught my attention, and he talked about the heart of Balaam. He was talking about the heart of Balaam, and I'll read Revelations here, Revelations 2, 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church at Pergamos, write these things. Saith he that had the sharp two-edged sword, I know thy works, and I know where thou dwellest, even Satan's seat. Thou holdest fast my name, and thou deniest not my faith. Even in those days where the days wherein Atmos, my faithful servant, was martyred, and was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things stumbled, sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaites, which things I hate. Repent, or I come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of him the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receive it. So we know the story of Balaam here. We know the rest of the story. What it's saying here is we don't want to have a heart like Balaam. You know with the story how Balaam and the donkey talked to him. We see Balak here sent this message to Balaam. He wanted him to come over there and to curse the children of Israel and to curse the Israelite people. And this was part of the struggle that the Israelite people had. They was constantly getting influenced by other people. And they were being influenced that way. With this request to curse Israel, they were going to give him a lot of money. They're going to give him position. They're going to give him wealth. And they was trying to entice Balaam with the things of the world. And Balaam looked what was offered to him, and in his heart he wanted it. He wanted the things that was offered to him. So that night he got on his knees, and he prayed to God, and he asked God what he should do, and God told him not to go. God told him he didn't want him to go. So he told Balak that God said no. But the requests kept coming, and they kept coming. And we see they kept getting bigger. There was more money, getting offered more things. And we see Balaam's heart, he wanted these things. He wanted the things. There was something in Balaam's heart that he longed for the things that was not supposed to be there. There was things in there that was not supposed to be there, and he kept longing for it. There was a longing in his things. There was a longing in his heart for the things that God said no to. After asking God the second time, God allowed him to go. God allowed Balak to go. And that's where he had the problem with the donkey, and he got mad at the donkey, and he beat the donkey. And, you know, God was putting his arm up against it. God was trying to stop him. God didn't want him to go. God didn't want him to go because he knew that he had a heart that wanted to curse the Israelite people. He knew that he had that in there. Maybe he didn't want to curse the Israelite people, but he had a heart that wanted the things that he shouldn't have had. And with that temptation come to get those things, he was going to have to curse the Israelite people. So God left him go. And when he got there, he looked over the children of Israel and he told Balak that, yeah, God won't let me curse him. He's only going to let me bless him. And I believe because God would not let him curse him. That's the only thing that stopped him. Otherwise, he would have cursed the children of Israel. Down in his heart, he longed for the things of the world. He longed for the things that was not supposed to be there. Later on, in that chapter, it tells us what he did. He taught Balak in a roundabout way how to cast a stumbling block in front of the children of Israel and how to cast him. He told Balak, penetrate the Israelite people with a little bit of sin. If you take this in there into their camp and you allow this seed to grow, God's going to reject his own people and you're going to be able to conquer them. And he did that. And he ended up getting all the money that was offered to him. In a roundabout way, he got those things that he really wanted. Down in Balaam's heart, it was conditioned the wrong way. God help us. We don't ever see that in our own heart, do we? We don't ever see our heart being conditioned that way, right? We would never just do what God told us not to do. We wouldn't do that. We know better than that. But what about shifting things around a little bit so we can get what we wanted. That's what Balaam did. He shifted things around and he got the things that he wanted in his life. God forbid that we ever be tempted with those things. And we see what God said to that church there. He warned them that he was going to take the candlestick away from them if they didn't repent. Maybe there's times God tells us in our heart that we need to repent of things. God's still there. He still wants us to repent. Balaam had the opportunity to repent and say sorry. I come to the end of my notes, so thank you guys for listening, and bless you.